Listening Dog Media.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it's somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Hello and welcome to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper. And we're quite smiley, aren't we, Lindsay?
We are. We can't hide it. I tried to hide it, but it was from here to here on my cheek. Big smile. Not as big as yours, though, David. That's just law of physics.
I know. Yeah, it was a good night. I was out. I was doing a corporate gig, and you know, it's always nice when England score as well. You know, because everybody. You know, I did a corporate thing for the American game, and that was really tough. But yeah. Last night was really good fun. A lot of people enjoyed that. Although the first half wasn't really going to plan, but we did play better the first half, I felt.
I did. I thought when you saw the breakdown of the match in statistics at half time, I don't think it was ever in doubt that England were going to go on and score at some point. I was very positive about the second half. I mean, Wales had less than 30% possession. I think it was round about the 28% mark, was it? Gareth Bale had seven touches and completed zero passes in the first half. And then obviously was...
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure he completed one and it was in his own box going backwards.
Oh, right, okay.
That was it.
Well, there we go. Sure that says it all, doesn't it, Adam? Says it all.
Yeah. I think there must have been a plan to not let Gareth Bale play. And it worked very well.
Did you think, I mean, we've got to put our neutral hat on temporarily, but do you think that Rob Page set up right for this match? There was a part of me that thought he would go more counter-attacking in the way that he'd set up, and he didn't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They got it wrong totally, I felt. Everything that they did didn't work. I can't remember Jordan having any saves to make. I did see him dive for one that was about 10 yards over the bar, and he did full-on camera dive. And I was like, he must be bored. Because like, why? Please let me know. Please tell me that he knows where his goal is and where the ball's going, and it's that wide. And he didn't think that was going in, because it was a great camera dive, but it did make me laugh. I did mention it last night, and it's funny. If you get to see it, I think it's when Alan has a shot, it's like way over, and Jordan does a full on camera dive, and I was like, it's very funny. But yeah, it was. I think England got it right. You know, the especially the second half, you know, we got Rashford got the free kick, which, you know, I would question the goalkeeper because it's gone in on his side. If you watch him as Rashford approaches the ball, he takes two steps to his right, you know, to go in behind the wall because he thinks he's going over it. And that's why Rashford scores in the goalkeeper's side, you know. And for me, that's the side that you're supposed to be protecting. If it goes in over the wall, good free kick. But when it goes in your side, and it weren't exactly right in the corner either. I know it had pace and bend, but if that was me, I'd have been a little bit disappointed, if I'm honest.
I don't think Ward has had the best season all round. I know that his form for Leicester had started to get a bit better coming into the World Cup, but he'd not been that Premier League goalkeeper that I was expecting he would be when he got his chance when Kasper left. So it doesn't surprise me that he had a couple of moments in this game, and he had another couple in the second half as well. What are those home nation matches like to play in, David? Because I took myself off to a screening in London for this one because I thought, you know, Wales, England, we don't get it, as we've been told, and it's been rammed down our throats. It's been 64 years since they were last in a World Cup. So I thought, I've got to go and experience a bit of atmosphere. So courtesy of 90 Minute Football, they put on this huge screening in London and there was loads of fans there. I won the raffle. I won a tournament football. So that's on my shelf behind me. But yeah, I just wanted to go and soak it up.
I'm glad you didn't put it back, Lindsay.
Yeah. We have this agreement. David's the same as me. Never put it back in the raffle. Never go, it's okay, you can put it back.
No.
No. We won it fair and square.
No, you're buying a ticket to win it.
But yeah.
You want David to sign it so he increases the value?
Yeah.
Or decreases. Leave it.
You said it.
We could test it out. I know they're about 130 quid at the moment. We could put David's signature on it and see what happens. Could be a little test on eBay.
I don't, yeah, exactly. No, we're not doing that.
135.
I'm not doing don't laugh, Liz. Don't encourage them.
No. This is all they come on for. They're waiting for these moments. But yeah, exactly. What are those games like for you to play in, but also now to watch? I mean, I think we've heard you say about playing in them a little bit, but from a watching point of view as well.
Like, to watch them now is good. It does build the atmosphere and the tension. But when I'm watching it now as an England fan, I just feel that we are, without being too arrogant, it's going to be arrogant, but not too arrogant. I just feel that we're better than them. We're better than Scotland. We're better than Wales. We're better than Ireland. So we're expected to win. But then that adds to the pressure. Probably played in about four international, like, derbies, as we call them. You know, I remember played against Scotland a couple of times. Played in Ireland when the game got abandoned, when they had all the trouble in the stand. But it's just the pressure that builds up before, you know, because there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of media attention, and that's the hardest thing to deal with is the pressure before the games. You know, you do feel it, and you do start thinking, oh yeah, but what if they beat us? But once the game starts, you get into game mode, and then hopefully that takes over, and how good England are at the moment is showing. You know, not just with the first team or the first 11, but with the subs that are coming on as well, they're really affecting the game, and it just looks great, you know. So, you know, going into last night, I was really confident. I went 3-0 again and got it.
I got 3-0 as well. If only I did this in our predictions league. I did.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah. I did put a pound on it.
I just went with the American score. I thought, one day I'm going to be right. I'm going 3-0 every game. And then last night, but it was great, you know, and like you said, Lindsay, the home internationals, they're good games to play in. And I remember, like, watching them before I actually got to play in one, that I used to look forward to them so much.
And then that second half, which you've just mentioned, really, where there was the turning of the screw, some of the things that stood out to me, and I'd love to get your opinion, I thought Jordan Henderson, it made a real impact. And with one eye on Senegal as well, when he came in alongside Declan Rice, it allowed Jude Bellingham to get further forward. And I thought, oh, is this what we do going forward now in knockout football? Because it felt a lot more attacking. It felt like the attack got the freedom that they haven't had, certainly in the USA game.
Yeah, that's where you want Bellingham. You want him going forward. You don't want him to have defensive roles. You know, so having Rice and Henderson there was brilliant. You know, and even on commentary last night, they were saying that sometimes when it goes quiet, all you can hear is Henderson barking out orders to all the players. you know, and he really governs everything in there, you know, and he's known for that, you know, so that's a great asset for the team. But yeah, Bellingham was much more effective in last night's game because against America, I think he had too many defensive duties and we didn't see the best of him, but in going forward, he's a lot better in giving that room, you know, but...
I lost count of the amount of times I spotted him in the box and I was like, yes, he's in there again. Brilliant.
Yeah. Then you got to give a shout out to the, you know, to Foden and Rashford coming in. A lot of people clamoring for them to get in, you know, especially for Foden. You know, and in the first half, he didn't have the best of first halves. Got his goal in the second half. But it was good to see, you know, it's good to see that, like, there's contribution from all over the team, you know, and yet again, Harry Kane didn't score. You know, so it's looking good because at some stage he's going to start scoring. There's no doubt about that, you know. But he's still assisting. He assisted for Foden's goal, which was brilliant. Like we said about Rashford, and then Rashford getting his second goal with a double nuts, which was ace. I reckon he should get two for that double nuts.
Sure, and that's a massive goalkeeping mistake, isn't it, though, for that last goal?
Yeah, I thought
it's not massive. It's not massive. It looks massive. Okay. But because that, you know, that little deflection that it takes off the first defender as it went through his legs, honestly, that can kill you. It can make it look really bad, and it did. You know, because he'll be set for the first shot, and then it just moves that little bit. Sometimes you don't have time to react, and because it actually went through his legs... And he slows it down. It makes it look worse. It really does, you know. But there's not a great deal that he can do about it.
So you sympathise with him a little bit on that.
Only a little bit, yeah. Mm. It's still a mistake. You know, there's no doubt. But because it's got that little deflection, I'll give him a little bit of sympathy.
a bit of a pass or whatever, yeah.
Not a pass. He's not getting a pass.
Okay.
But there's a bit of sympathy because of the first deflection.
How about the switch from Gareth Southgate of Foden and Rashford on the wings? He switched over for the second half and that worked a treat.
Yeah, you know, and like let's appreciate that. You know, appreciate what Gareth's doing. There's a lot of people out there that think he should do this and he should do that. But, you know, he makes his own decisions. You know, and if I'm honest, I was a little bit disappointed that he put Foden in. You know, of all the clamour that was for Foden, I just felt like, it's like, no, hang on, you know, I'm doing it my way. Maybe he'd already decided to play Foden anyway in this game.
I think he had.
But you know what I mean? You know, when there's all that clamour and then he gives in, it looks like he's giving in to it. That's what it looks like a little bit. You know, even if he hadn't played Foden, I'd be like, right, no, let's watch what he does. Let's look and see how he treats these games. He knows what he's doing. There's no doubt about it. You know, his record speaks for itself. We're still in with a great chance of doing something really special. So let him get on with it, is what I'm saying.
Going back to the Foden thing, thinking about the USA game, do you think he made that change? Because if you're thinking about the US game, I think both Saka and Sterling were pretty ineffective. So I think he had to make that change.
But that's what I like. You know, if you've got your changes planned, fair enough. You know, I don't like the fact that sometimes it can look like he's given into peer pressure from the public and from, you know, a lot of media. But like you said, to be fair, Saka and Sterling didn't have the best games against America. So, you know, it's probably a change that he was going to make. You know, and like I said, like with Foden, first half, he didn't affect the game at all. You know, I think Rashford was a little bit more of a threat. It wasn't until the second half that, you know, things really started getting going, you know, and it was like, what was it, 2 goals in 2 minutes? It was amazing. Mm.
Yeah, and that killed the game off. And from a Wales perspective, do you think now there has to be an overhaul? It has to be about the next generation. And that's probably the last that we've seen of Gareth Bale at the World Cup. You know, Aaron Ramsey, Joe Allen wasn't fit, was he? I mean, it was a little bit like us with Kyle Walker, really. They're both playing on with injuries. But it feels like there's a clamour now from the Welsh contingent to just go in a new direction.
Yeah, but they don't have to like just say bye to Gareth and Ramsey. You know, it's not like you've got to get rid of them. You know, they're still big parts of the Welsh squad. You know, whether that's starting the games or coming on as sub or whatever, you know, you don't just like get rid of quality like that. You know, you use it, you use their experience, you know, and maybe keep them in the squad, and but then develop other players.
Mm.
You know, because if they're looking towards the next World Cup or the next Europeans, they may not be around, you know, but they might be around as some sort of like mentors or coaches or whatever, you know, but you just don't like get rid of them like that, you know, because they're a big part of the Welsh football history. You know, they've done great things for Wales. You know, I'm not one of these people that thinks, right, now get rid of them. They're no good. You know, so I'm saying with the Ronaldo situation, you know, I love Ronaldo. You know, and then that's why I'm like, no, don't just like bin him because he's still a good player.
Mm.
You know, and these guys are still good players.
But that's been leveled across the whole thing though, hasn't it? With aging players, they've got a lot of superstars in this World Cup and they're just on the downward slope now, aren't they? Which is sad to see.
Yeah, but don't, you know, it's only a little slope. Mm. You know what I mean?
They're still incredible. Yeah,
you know, they've still got a lot of quality to offer, but you have to manage that. You have to manage how you play them and how many minutes you give them, you know, and whether they come on as sub or not, or you tell them that they've got an hour and then I'm going to bring you off, you know, so give you everything you've got for that hour.
Yeah. I don't know if you...
Just manage it right.
I don't know if you saw the interview with Kevin De Bruyne. He was talking about Belgium. He actually said, I don't think we could win this because of our aging squad. He said, our time was the last tournament and it's too late now, which I thought was very
brave. No, that was Hazard. It was Hazard that did it.
Oh, did he say that?
Hazard says it. Yeah.
I thought it was De Bruyne.
Or they both might have said it. If they both said it, what chance you got?
Well, yeah, it's almost the wrong mentality then, isn't it?
I know. Because I saw Hazard do the interview and I saw him say it. And I was like, I can't believe you just said that. You know, that the squad before was better than the one that he's in now. It was a really strange one to say, you know, and especially before that, you know, the game. And then they go into the game and they were rubbish anyway. You know, they got beat 2-0.
They mentally set themselves up to lose.
They were one of my tips and they're my, you know, like my sweet state.
And me, oh gosh.
I know. I was like, what?
How about Germany? I feel they've had pelters this tournament. And even though they managed to get that draw against Spain, which has somehow kept their hopes alive, unless they absolutely blow it up in this final game, their own press are akin to how we've experienced, you know, South Africa and Brazil, the way that the press were with England sides. Right. That's what it's like in Germany at the moment.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I watched the game and I was, well, I think we spoke about it last week. You know, I was quite hoping they'd get knocked out because, you know, like give them a load of rubbish, but they're still in it. And that's a worry. They will get better, there's no doubt. They do this quite a lot, Germany. Normally it's like in the qualification stages where they struggle. But now that they're in the tournament, they've struggled a little bit, but they'll get better, there's no doubt. And I wouldn't be surprised if... I certainly think they'll qualify for the knockout stages.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I don't know who they get after that, but just be aware of Germany. Don't poke it too much because it'll wake up.
Don't poke the bear.
Exactly.
We've seen this with a lot of big teams, haven't we? Where even Brazil and start some of their games, it was 0-0 for a long time. Apart from that, it was Spain that put 7 past.
Yeah.
Who it was now.
Costa Rica.
Yeah, there's been a lot of big teams that haven't started with gusto.
No, but and the thing that you're getting, though, the standard of the teams is getting closer together. The teams that you expect to thrash, that ain't happening anymore. You know, even like with England beating Iran, that was like a bit of a shock, if we're honest.
Yeah.
You know, we never thought we'd get 6 past them. Mm. You know, but, you know, and then like you said, Spain, you don't get that many results like that in the World Cup anymore, you know, because, you know, look how many 0-0s there's been.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so many 0-0s, you know, so the standard of play is getting better.
With games every 4 days, we're now starting to talk about depth of squad. And I thought that was quite interesting because it was spoke about in the build-up to Wales against England. And certainly it was dominating the chat afterwards, is that England have these options from the bench. And then other nations have been picked out as being the ones that also have great squad depth, like France and Brazil, and that those are the nations that we can expect to get the furthest. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's about the whole squad? But if you manage to keep a really good 11 fit, surely that's just as good.
Yeah, if you can keep the whole 11 fit, but that's what probably you struggle to do that, especially in the World Cup. You know, you look at Brazil, Neymar's out. We don't know for how long. You know, I saw a picture of his ankle and it didn't look good. Who knows how long that's going to be. But when you've got a good squad, that really helps, you know, and especially with England, you look at the players that have been coming on. You know, even Calvin Phillips got on last night, which was brilliant. It's a great sign. It's a great sign for England. And I look at people, you know, like France, for instance, as well. They've got a really good squad. Mm-mm. You know, I'm not too sure about Argentina, but that's what you need. You need these players. And the good thing with England is that a lot of them now have had game time, you know, so they've all experienced the World Cup. You know, so now it's going on and doing your job. You know, you've got away, you've got the nervousness away. And now it's time to go and produce.
It is a great sign, but I can't help at the back of my mind, just because it's still so fresh in my memory, but Euro champions in the summer for the women, we know that Serena Wiegmann, she hardly made any changes to the starting 11. Now, I'm not saying she didn't have super subs. She absolutely did. But she hardly ever tinkered with the starting 11. And lots of people thought that was part of the winning formula. I'm just interested as whether it is or not, because we talk about depth of squad in one breath and we see what, you know, Rashford and Foden did in this game, but it is constantly changing that starting 11, and I'm not sure whether that is a good thing.
I know what you mean. And then do they go to a back three or do they stay with a back four? You know, there's all those questions as well. But yeah, ideally, if the team that you put out really performs, you keep that team. Then the subs come on when they do, and they have, you know, you get your impact subs like Grealish and people like that. Against America, it didn't quite happen, did it? So that's probably why Gareth felt that he had to make a few changes, you know, and then he gave Foden and Rashford their chances, got Henderson back in to stabilise that midfield.
But do you also
and it worked.
Do you look at personalities, do you think, you know, when choosing that squad? Because you're saying you've got that depth in squad and you're going, well, if the starting 11 work, then they work. But if you know that you're going to come up against a team that's going to play a certain way because of, you know, how they've played the past few games, or they need the 3 points, they need to get past. So you go, well, actually, even though I know my starting 11 works, do you know what? I'm going to start with you know, maybe Grealish or Foden, because they're a little bit more of a maverick than, say, Henderson and Rice. And because you want them to create something in that midfield, or you want them to do something. So you're not just, even though, say, that starting 11 won the game before, you go, well, actually, I'm going to put these personalities in because they'll do something in this game.
But that's the beauty of having a great squad, which is what England have got. You know, you have got those options. But for me, you know, if you can keep naming an unchanged team and then bringing these guys on, you know, who's to say you don't have to bring them on at half time? You know, true. But you've got to keep a style of play and a pattern of play with certain players. You know, and we always look at the spine of the team, and the spine of the team for England is really good.
Did anyone get a little bit twitchy when Maguire was making those streaming runs through the midfield?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might have done it on the first game. Now when he does it, I'm like, yeah, go on, Harry. I'm loving his confidence coming back and the way that he's playing. You know, because he's been through a lot of crap. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, like on and off the field. I'm so happy that he's now performing to the Maguire that we know. The Maguire that plays for England, not the one that plays for Man United.
Yeah. Same with Rashford.
He can continue playing like that for Manchester United in January.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he can carry that on later. Yeah.
He won't be from the bench.
I know, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, but now do you think that might change people's minds?
I don't think so, because I think it's a different style. I think England play very low, so he's not getting caught out.
Yeah.
It's when they're pushed up and he's got a chase.
When they hold that high line. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, you've got to play to your player's strengths. That's good management.
Yeah. Just stick him on the bench and sell him.
That might be good management as well.
Yeah. Seaman says,
hear him like never before.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
Right, guys, let's talk about our Seaman Says sweepstake. We're all involved and there's a few of our listeners. So, you know, teams that are out already are Qatar, Ecuador, Iran, Wales, and Canada. I said it again, didn't I? Ecuador. Is that my posh voice for Ecuador?
Ecuador.
It's not your Rotherham voice, is it?
Certainly not. Bloody Ecuador.
It's his Berkshire voice.
Yeah, exactly. But who's got what then?
I've got the Netherlands, who I'm quite happy with at the moment.
I think I've got Belgium, Anna. I'm not happy.
I think Netherlands could have a good run.
Who did you have, Callum?
USA.
Still in it.
Adam?
Who have I got? I can't remember.
Have you got Argentina or something?
Oh, you know. Adam's got Brazil.
Oh,
oh amazing. How did you wangle that one? Did you, like, heat it up? Oh, I'll get this one. Oh, it's the hot one.
So when I did the draw for it, I literally saw Adam's name come up next to Brazil. I literally went,
it's fixed.
No, it's not. Oh, no. And I've got, yeah, like I say, I've got Belgium, and I was like, that one. And I even said, I said to Frankie when I was watching, I was like, Belgium are rubbish.
Belgium are old.
Oh, God. On paper, they look ace. But they just, I don't know what it is with them. They just never seem to click in a tournament, do they?
If they look ace on paper, is it Roberto Martinez?
Ooh. No, not all down to his fault, because some of the players just aren't, they're not performing properly. You know, it's, yeah, they're not getting, I think it's 50-50, if I'm honest. Mm. You know, Martinez has got to get a lot more out of that team because it's a good team. You know, I know Lukaku came on towards the end. That hopefully means that he might start the next game. But yeah, they're like one of those teams that are just like so frustrating at every tournament. Yeah, what are they number two or number one in the world? How did they get to that?
Well, they were number one, weren't they?
That's a flawed system in itself, isn't it?
I know, exactly. Yeah. You know, when I was like, yeah, number
Iran
one.
Iran were in the top 20, and then we beat them 6-2. Yeah.
I know, yeah. Yeah, Iran in, yeah, exactly, Lindsay. Iran as well. You know, they're like, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is this working? Well, it's not working, obviously, but.
weren't all of the sides in Group B in the top 20? So Wales. Yeah. And USA, which that's correct. That just shows that the system's all out, doesn't it? Because that wasn't a tough group for England, really.
No, it wasn't. You know, the toughest game obviously was America, and you know, if you're honest, you're like when we saw that group drawn out, you were like, yeah, we should easily qualify.
Mm.
You know, we made it a little bit tougher than what we expected, but you know, I was expecting two wins, qualify, play a few of the other players. It didn't quite work out like that, but. It looks on paper now that we've qualified quite easily.
Mm.
So going back to the sweepstake, Lindsay, it's me versus you, isn't it, this weekend?
Is it?
Mm.
Who have you got?
So I've got USA, Lindsay's got Holland.
Whoa.
So should we give it a little shout out to the people that have sadly left our sweepstake?
Yeah, go on, Adam.
Yeah,
succumbed.
Succumbed.
Bye.
It was nice knowing you.
So who's what?
First out was Qatar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I barely made it to the second week.
Two games. See you later.
Yeah.
King of regs.
King of regs.
King of
regs. Unlucky, mate. Unlucky.
Bye.
Bye.
Very unlucky. A bad draw. Bad draw.
Ecuador. That's Farsi. Bye.
Yeah, Farsi, that was a shocker, if I'm honest. Yeah, that was a bit of a shock. I didn't expect them to go out that early. But bye-bye.
Iran, I hope I pronounced this right. Derich, 81. Thank Derich, you for playing.
Yeah, Derich. Bye
bye.
Die.
Yeah, Iran. That's not the best draw, is it?
Yeah. Who had Wales?
Matty Boy AFC had Wales.
Matty Boy. Matty Boy.
Oh, it sounds Welsh. Oh, Matty Bye-bye. Boy.
See ya. Well, at least they lasted three games.
And Canada as well.
Yeah.
You can pronounce that one, Cal.
Well, let me try and find the real name.
You're not going to do their Twitter handle.
Nope. Robert Jones.
Oh, Bob Jones.
Bye bye, Bob. Thank you for playing.
See you, Bob.
And we must say as well that we've put Frankie in this too.
Oh, yeah,
also
Argentina.
Quite lucky. Yeah, Argentina.
I knew someone had got Argentina. Yes, that was Frankie.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, if they start chirping up, she'll start chirping up. That's it for this episode. We'll be back on Friday ahead of England's next game against Senegal. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave us a review on your podcast platform, and we'll see you all soon.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.